tiptoe, not even daring to shut the door after her in case the landlady should hear and shout something terrible. Nor why she spent nights pacing up and down her room, drawing up sharply before the mirror and saying to a tragic reflection, "Money, money, money." When she was alone, her poverty was like a huge dream mountain on which her feet were fast rooted, aching with the ache of the size of the thing. But if it came to definite action, no time for imaginings, her dream mountain dwindled into a beastly hold-your-nose affair, to be passed as quickly as possible, with anger and a strong sense of superiority. The landlady bounced out of the room, banging the door, so that it shook and rattled as though it had listened to the conversation and fully sympathised with the old hag. Squatting on her heels, Viola opened the letter. It was from Casimir. "I shall be with you at 3 o'clock this afternoon, and must be off again this evening. All news when we meet. I hope you are happier than I. Casimir." "Huh, how kind," she sneered.